Tēnā tātou katoa e te whānau. Welcome to this week's edition of Whiti Whiti, and you're live on Te Hiku Media. I'm Hini Hōtirine, and this week's show, we're talking about the cost of living and the ever-increasing demands on our whānau having to survive with the everything going up at the moment. That's food, the rent, all expenses needed to live a good life. So obviously in winter, we're really feeling it at the moment. Welcome to this week's show. Our first guest this evening, we have Zee Tāna. Ngā mihi ki a koe e Zee, kua tatu mai koe ki tēnei wahanga o Whiti Whiti. Kia ora. And also we have George Riley. Kia ora, George.
Ngā koe e hini, tēnā tātou.
Tēnā tātou katoa. Kia ora. Thank you both for joining us. We'll just start with you, Zee. I'm really interested to hear some of your journey towards opening your own cafe in Whangarei, specialising in vegan kai. That's something that seems to be quite new to us, but really as Māori, we did have a traditionally quite a green diet. Tell us about, firstly, Zee, how you came into this vegan experience and how now you are basically making a living off it, or are you making a living?
Ai, tēnā koe, taku whanau ngā hēni, me matua George, tēnā kaurua. Tika tō kōrero. I've been in our restaurant in Whangarei, Pallet Wholesome Collective, for the last 4 years. We've definitely noticed a change in I guess, our prices rising over these last 4 years. 4 years has been a really good amount of time for us to really get a gauge on those changing costs, and also the changes of our people here in Whangarei, in our rohe, but also for iwi Māori. And as you mentioned, iwi Māori have always been a part of consuming seasonably with māramataka. So we weren't always eating kai miti. So for me, it's just a returning back to some of the tikanga of our tūpuna, really, but doing it wholeheartedly and not consuming any kai miti. So for me, kai miti, I'm not really sure about how the costs are changing in that realm. But in regards to vegetables, fruits, legumes, our essentials, rices and stuff like that, we've definitely noticed over, especially the last 2 years since COVID, that prices have increased by at least $1 to $2, especially for those essential things like basic things like brown rice, white rice, flours, for example. But I've been vegan for the last nearly 7 years now. So I've noticed lots of changes as well for myself personally, and being able to consume a lot of our kai hua whenua, kai hua rākau, and I'm also gluten-free as well. So coming away from eating standard white flours, I've noticed myself personally that my own cost of living's changed as well, because I'm not investing in putting my pūtea towards things like dairy or cheeses or milks or those other kai that other whānau most likely get on the daily. I'm not really sure about what's happening for other whānau, where they're having to buy those essentials. But things like our alternative milks are starting to make a bit of a headway in the supermarkets, and I can see a lot of whānau are realising maybe miraka from the co is not necessarily for them. And I mean, even soy might not be for most whānau either, but they're better options and they're plant options available for us that our tinana recognises and is able to consume appropriately and distribute the Māori correctly in our tinana, and then expel or express all the rest that's not needed by us. Whereas we've seen studies in regards to kai miraka, especially from animals, that a lot of people, especially tangata Māori, because we've only had that kind of kai in our diet for the last, say, 200 years or so. We're noticing nowadays that we're getting, and it's quite prevalent, I'd say, since I was a kid, asthma, eczema, skin diseases, bowel cancers, and all these other mate that are coming around nowadays, or probably have been around for a while for our people. It's only just now that we're realising that it's our kai that's the either the medicine or the maʻiwi.
Kia ora, Z. Kia ora. Thank you for that. I do want to come back to you soon, and just after, I want to just talk to George more about what he's seen within our iwi up here in the north, Z. So kia ora. Now, George, Bowes Produce, that's a kaupapa, of course, being run under your mahi whakahaere there at Te Runanga o Te Rārua e Hoa. Tell me what you're seeing in terms of being an iwi company, I guess, with that mahi there, in terms of production and right down to working with our whānau. Are our whānau struggling? Are they able to afford the cost of meats that Bowes sells, of milk, those kind of essentials? Or indeed, coming back to you, Z, because of the demands of such costs, we might be seeing us moving and returning back to more of a meatless diet. What are you seeing there, George?
Yeah, kia ora, Mike. Thanks for that and the introduction from Z, who reminded me while he was talking that we're not just consumers, the Māori people and Māori whānau, we're actually producers as well of goods and service and of raw food and commodities. So interesting point that he made there. And I think he's also correct that over 4 years, you get a lot of data to measure some of these changes from. So our people are always going to be constrained by the availability of and cost of foods that, in particularly for urban centres, that with our low backdrop and incomes that we're locked into. So that's the first point. And some of those basic staples, for example, rice, wheat, corn, soy, those food items subject to worldwide pressures, as we're seeing with the Ukraine and Russia, and some of the droughts that are affecting grain production in Europe and in Asia. So, you know, climate change is another big driver of the cost of living impacts upon us. How people are coping with those is a variety of different options and what's available to them. I don't have clear data on a shift away from meat per se, but certainly the expensive cuts of meat, those are sitting on the shelf longer and people are going for the sort of meat that we grew up with, sausages, minces, brisket, the cheaper cuts of livers, heart, those sorts of things. But even now, oxtail and lamb shanks and that, and pork bones, they're expensive items in many shops. You know, as the market reacts to demand, people who retail those products push their price up. And in the broader sense, we're subject to that as well for two reasons. The first of which is, of course, that the monopoly companies or companies that hold large monopolies in this country, and I'm talking about the fuel, the supermarkets, and the building supplies in particular, those price increases in those three streams of produce have been very high relative to other services and goods that people wish to access. So the government's trying to break down those monopolies. But secondly, because of our low incomes, most of our money is spent on food, fuel, housing, debt, power, the normal staples that a household must do. And we're left with far less as a result of that because we don't have any surplus income to invest or to offset in any sense. So I take my hat off to people like Z who started a business to try and break that cycle. And I can just tell him, if he doesn't already know, business in Northland is tough. And there's a lot of very, very good business operators who do extremely well in delivering service to their clients who still struggle to make a lot of income over and above the break-even point. So I commend them for being in business for 4 years. That's a really good record. And in the service industry in Whangarei, again, you've got tough competition. And so you've got a niche market there, and commend you for having a go at it and wish you well.
Ngā mihi matua.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Thank you for that. And yes, Z, indeed, it is tough at the moment. You talked about whānau considering changing our diet. Is it cheaper to be a vegan? What have you calculated, Z? Have you
done I would say because we're not, as Matua George mentioned just then, because we're not investing in a lot of that kai that is higher cuts or needs a lot more producing and a lot more pūtea towards producing, a lot more money towards producing those products or those end products, we don't necessarily have to commit ourselves to those costs. So for us as a business, I think we've just had to adapt and make changes where we've seen necessary. Obviously, once things get to a higher price point, we either look for alternatives that are, if not the same, better. And if they're a little bit worse, then we try to wait on and try and see if we can keep using the same products until there's better alternatives available to us. And that's something I would recommend for whānau as well. If whānau are looking at taking this journey or even just having a trial of it, I know a lot of whānau are moving towards like a meatless Monday just to try and save on their pockets and move towards more kaihua whenua, kaihua rākau, more veg foods, whether it's vegan or vegetarian, just moving away from having to spend those big ticket items at the supermarket. If they are wanting to stick to that that same way, I would recommend coming together, whakawhanaungatanga, kotahitanga, whakaurutanga, come back together and start sharing in our costs. You know, if you can buy a big bag from the Asian supermarket or from bulk or wholesale, share that out to your whānau, put your pūtea together and start splitting out those costs to big ticket items that we can start to share as essential items.
Great. That's some really good advice there. Thank you. And seeing that same came kind of whakaaro Māori come into our bigger businesses such as Bowes, George, a little bit bigger than what Z's operation is there in Whangarei. What are your thoughts about working together as co-ops? As you know, something that our grandparents worked, you know, they had the dairy co-ops of the times and they'd work together and pull together when things were particularly tough. Is that something that you've thought of, particularly as an iwi organisation, how the framework of co-ops might maybe be beneficial or any other type of alternative kaupapa Māori systems that we could be looking at in terms of economic development, George?
Yeah, that's a really good strategy for many groups. But before I go into some detail, I'll just tell the listeners that when we were at university, of course, most of us could not afford any meat whatsoever. So we lived on pumpkin pie, pumpkin soup, leek soup, whatever was the cheapest vegetable, fried cabbage, you know, whatever was cheapest. And we didn't suffer undue health benefits or health aspects as a result of that. In fact, we probably come out a lot better. So there's nothing to be feared from a vegetable-based diet. And in an international sense, New Zealand is one of those countries where we have a very high consumption of meat per capita. Red meat, white meats, fish, etc. We're lucky. So fish was one of the options to offset ourselves when we were at university, and it still is an option for most of us who have coastal communities. And I suspect that also those who are in the inland seas, where there are still tuna left and they run traps through the hekinga, they still hand out kai tu whānau in a cooperative sense. So the feral harvesting around tuna and fish in particular is available to us. Of course, we don't have a lot of harvesting of other species, possibly some wild pork, and that would be about it in a cooperative sense. That still occurs reasonably regularly from hunters who luck on a couple of animals during the weekend. They'll hand it out to whānau. But the real cooperative break for us, or the co-op type break for us, is in community gardens. Now, in the rural communities, that's an option, but in urban communities, it's a lot more difficult to put those up and running. But, you know, as Māori, there are several aspects about us which are first-rate ideal to promote, and one of them is our ability to work in our team, in a team, and our consideration for other people. So wherever cooperatives, and you may be able to establish them in some rural, in some urban centres, can be established, and I recommend that local communities to go for that. But certainly in and around marae, you know, our history has been, as you said, Hini, large community gardens, where everybody turned up to work on the weekends. Some of that, of course, you may well be involved in, I certainly was in my time as a child, was to retain our lands from the Abandoned Lands Act. And so we gardened lots of blocks of land so that the Crown couldn't come along and confiscate them under the Abandoned Lands Act. So there was a kaupapa that was ongoing, and we always enjoyed the community work, and, of course, any produce was shared out usually through the marae. So it's something to always consider and something to always try and establish.
Kia ora. And that's a serious question that we're always asking ourselves. Why are we not able to feed ourselves? We, of course, want to, the ultimate is to live as tiroranga, tiratanga, you know, to agreements are specified and laid out in te tiriti or waitangi. So it becomes quite confrontational for most of us living day to day in survival mode to actually come to the realization, well, why can't we grow our own gardens? Because all of our land has been kua murua ke. So we're dealing with a lot here, aren't we, Z? The return to a traditional diet, the return to self-independence. Is that what happens when we start to become really aware, even right down to the source of our kai, where our food all comes from, is so important. What are your thoughts around these things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I can only speak from my own perspective, transitioning coming from a kaimiti diet to a vegan diet. For me, my nana always considered that she always taught us about the transference of Māori, that if something is in a state of fear or bad Māori and you consume of that same Māori, it becomes a part of you and that transference goes on. So for me, from my own perspective, I realized that not consuming of animals or animal byproducts or products in general, that I started to think a lot clearer. My hinengaro was a lot clearer. I became a lot more attuned to te taiao, to myself personally and being in te taiao. And then ended up getting up into the garden and starting to create my own kaimata, which I feel, as we mentioned before, Matua George mentioned before, it's a bit hard to be able to create those spaces in urban settings. But I think if it is important to our councils, if it's important to Māori, to Māori wards that are stepping into councils in these next elections, that those are things that need to be addressed. Our taiao is a part of our āhua. It's a part of our entire being. So te ao Māori needs to be considered by using te taiao first, and councils need to consider that first. So for me, from my own perspective, not consuming any of that kai, my hinengaro changed a bit. It opened my eyes a bit more to how we treat the animals as well, even if farms are still having animal agriculture as their main source of income. And also if they're using just agriculture, general agriculture, without using animals on their farms, I'm sure they've found that there's comparative differences between having to manage animals and manage produce, manage plants and produce. So for me, I see that difference as well, that coming away from eating kaimiti, that myself personally, I've changed for the better, I guess. I can see more clearly in my own perspective anyway.
I like that, Z. Kia Māori ora tātou katoa. Thank you, Z. And just finally, to conclude our program this evening, George, your thoughts around our Indigenous diets you're involved in, not so much also the production side of things, right across down to working with our whānau there at the Runanga. Will there be a future move considering climate change to go organic, George?
I think there has to be, and I think Z was just touching on it a bit earlier when he mentioned these diets that have been with us for 200 years, and we're seeing the diseases of affluence, obesity, high sugar, high salt, dependence upon agri-pasture and in particular dairy fats. These things are foreign to our body systems, which have evolved over millennia, where we were really plant producers, plant consumers, supplemented by bird and fish. And I put a plug in for birds and fish because they still do contain a range of omega, what are called the omega values, which are very beneficial to us. But more beneficial to us, I think, is the act of planting, growing, harvesting, care on an annual and on long-term cycle. So we've seen the rise of the respect for the maramataka. We had now Matariki has come onto the national psyche as something which is acceptable in the wider world. It's always been part of our world, of course, and programs were run, even if we were a little bit ignorant of them as children. As adults, we certainly know, we can see the patterns of the seasons. and what the old folk were doing to us when we were younger. So yes, those indigenous diets, the remediation of some of the excesses due to these diseases of affluence, just like we didn't have innate resilience to influenza and those other diseases that arrived 180 years ago, we're going to have to turn around our dietary approach as well to ensure the long-livedness of our mokos and all of our whānau. So, and dairy fats would be a first one. Salt would be another one. Get rid of that and, you know, return to plants and growing and tending papatūānuku is very, very good for ourselves as a commune and as individuals. So, kia ora mai.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Absolutely. Tautoko marika, 100% love the kōrero this evening from you both. Obviously, the first indication of this success is the change in the type of kai we're eating at the marae and primarily within our houses. Thank you both for sharing those really good quality home stories about your time at university eating pumpkin soup, George, and of course you yourself, Z, and your journey into veganism, Tūturu, 100%. Love to hear our future movements and consideration to where we will be evolving into the future with our indigenous diet. And of course, this absolutely alleviating some of the demands on our whānau at present with the rising costs of everything, food, everything. So of course we want to enjoy our lives and not be spending all of our money on the necessities. So we've got something little for extra for later. E te whānau, I'm Hini Hotirine this evening on Whiti Whiti, Te Hiku Media Live. Once again joined by Z Tana. Aku mihi katoa, kia koe e hoa, kia koe hoki e George, ngā mihi, mauri ora.